passive investing has been growing in popularity for quite a long time. But despite the growth, many Canadians continue to debate whether they should invest in an active or passive way. There are myths and misconceptions still about these two strategies. Here to explain some of those myths and provide a little bit of context is Todd Schlanger. He's a Canadian senior investment strategist at Vanguard. Hello there.
Hello there, and thank you for having us.
Passive investing on the rise for a very, very long time in Canada as well. It's really seen some stunning growth in the last couple of years. Vanguard has been in the space since, what, like 1974 or something. So I think we need to acknowledge that you're not an impartial observer here. Vanguard's been in index investing for a very long time, and they have a huge ETF business. That being said, distinguish between the two for our listeners who aren't familiar between the difference, in the difference.
So actually start by saying we were founded as an active shop, believe it or not, Vanguard. So our founder, Mr. Bogle, who many investors know, was running Wellington Management Company, and he decided to leave essentially and set up Vanguard as a distributor of actively managed funds that Wellington was managed. So active, believe it or not, we always say if you want to hide more than $1 trillion in active assets, just put it with Vanguard. Nobody will notice it's there.
Right.
But we're actually the third largest active manager in the world. So we think we're in a really good place where we can actually talk about the merits of both.
Yeah. So gimme, active is some money manager somewhere is making active decisions about what to buy and sell. And passive is, in its purest sense, you're buying a product that tracks an index. How'd I do? Good?
You did pretty well. I would say that
I thought that was more than a B plus. I thought what did I miss? You add
the
some
only
nuance.
Thing I would add is that you could make a case that the pure market is passive and everything else is active. So when we talk about active, we're talking about people developing strategies to outperform the market, typically by buying securities and so forth. So that's typically how we talk about it. But you could make a case that investors have developed a market portfolio based on their collective views. And then if you take a position relative to that, then you're trying to achieve something different. And that
so
that
then how do you
active.
Define passive?
I would define passive that way. You're buying a market, whether it be the Canadian market, the global market, and you're generally holding that. I think the advantages of that, it's pretty low cost, it's diversified, and low turnover. So if you think about what really drives returns at the end of the day and things you can quantify, the only two we can quantify that are associated with better performance are lower management fees and lower turnover. And diversification, of course, is one of those free lunches that you have in investing. So if you put all that together, passive does a really good job. But we're also clear to say or quick to say that, we do think you can be successful with active if you can keep your costs down and identify talent. And that's the paradox that is often out there, is that it's difficult to identify talent at a low cost. We can do it because of our scale, because of our structure. We have very long-term relationships that allow us to do it.
And past performance does not indicate future returns.
It does not. And that's why when we have a whole group, it's what we actually call our portfolio review group, where they do evaluation on our active managers that we often hire to run money. So I would say of the trillion we have, a little more than half of it we run internally, and then we're hiring folks. They focus on forward-looking indicators more than past.
So we're going to talk about some of the myths, not all. One is indexing only works in efficient markets, such as the U.S. What do you mean by that?
So this is one of those myths that just keeps coming up. And what you typically hear, and I think it's because indexing really started as an idea in the U.S. and really became prominent.
Don't forget
there.
About tips. Don't forget about tips. They've been around a very long time in Canada. Some Canadians will take issue with that.
Got it. I do know that the first ETF was launched in Canada.
Woo!
But generally, indexing came to prominence in the U.S. And when you think about the S&P 500, people thought, that looks like a pretty efficient way to invest, and perhaps we should go into other markets that are quote unquote less efficient, and maybe there'll be opportunities there where maybe there's not enough analyst coverage. Maybe the securities are more likely to be mispriced. But what we actually find is that in those quote unquote less efficient markets, so we're talking about, you know, emerging markets, small and mid-cap securities, these are some of the more common, you find the results of active managers relative to their benchmarks tends to be equal to or generally worse than in the quote-unquote efficient markets. And we really attribute that to the fact that all markets are a zero-sum game. So half of the assets are going to outperform, half are going to underperform before fees. Once you take fees away, it's got to be the case mathematically in every market that more than half of the assets underperform. It also just so happens that in the less efficient markets, the costs tend to be higher. And right. That could be an explanation of why we actually see the results being worse there.
Myth, another one, active funds perform better in bull or bear market cycles. I'm starting to hear that as people are concerned about the levels of North American markets in particular.
Yeah, we hear this both ways. So we hear it that in an up market, active managers can get more aggressive. They can overweight those cyclical names, outperform. At the same time, maybe in a bear market, they can be more defensive. The reason that we don't typically see that in the data is because most things that change market direction in a significant way are unanticipated. So it's very difficult to position the portfolio ahead of time. So we've looked in the paper at three cycles in Canada, two bulls, one bear. We saw across different investment categories very mixed results. If you go to where we have the best data in the U.S., we can actually go back over about 13 market cycles, and we see very inconsistent results across cycles. And so at the end of the day, we think the case for active is really a longer term case. It's about, you know, finding good managers at a low cost, constructing a very diversified portfolio, and then being disciplined with that.
When you say low cost, what does that mean?
Low cost, I would say you could define it a number of different ways. But generally, I think you want to, with active, you want to keep the cost relative to what you could implement in an index in mind.
So Canadian average is something like 2.3% for an MER. Where should one look for an actively managed solution between, you know, 30 basis points and 2.3?
So when we came into the Canadian marketplace, we have four active funds that we launched. MER is around 50 basis points. That's in the bottom decile of cost. So I think that's reasonable. When you get up, let's say at 100 basis points or so, it's going to be pretty hard for a strategy to consistently get a – think about it. Just in the zero-sum game construct that I gave you, you're going to need 100 points of alpha just to get back to the market return.
Right.
That's going to be difficult.
People who are with advisors also need to think that there might be a 1% management fee or whatever they call that layered on top of that. So,
of course.
We're going to sneak in one more, but we just got about 30 seconds for it. The myth, passive investing is better than active investing.
So that's a newer one, but there's a lot of research where if you look at how managers perform relative to their benchmarks, in on average, the active managers underperform their benchmarks. But I'll tell you what, there's no universal case for active or passive. You could have a higher cost, less diversified index that might be labeled passive, but is actually a form of high cost active. You could have a diversified, low cost active fund where it's at a competitive price point for the talent and outperform. So while we have six myths where we essentially go through and show that there are fallacies about particular reasons why active might be better, we were quick to say it's also not the case that passive is better. It's really about principles, which are for us are around cost, diversification, and discipline, and labels being less important.
Interesting. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Todd Schlanger, a Canadian senior investment strategist at Vanguard. Go on the Google machine and find that report. There's lots of interesting stuff to read there.